Dan here, dialing in episode 76 of TWAT, and today I'm going to be talking about setting up an Icecast streaming server, which will allow you to, you know, put together your own web radio station or just stream any audio files that you would like to stream over the network for personal use or for your friends. Icecast is an open source server that's part of the Ziff Foundation for keeping audio and video and streaming technology open on the web. Icecast will allow you to stream Ogg Vorbis, Ogg Theora, and MP3. It's a simple installation. You can grab the source, really easy to install from icecast.org, or you can just install the Icecast package by your distribution. There's one for Debian, there's one for Arch. I'm sure Red Hat and SUSE probably have packages. Slackware doesn't have an official package, but it's, like, again, it's really simple to download the source and install it. It takes about a few minutes to compile it. When I configure Icecast, I've always done it into its own separate directory. One thing to be aware of running an Icecast server is you do not want to run the server as root. You're going to want to create another user to run it under. And it doesn't really require any specialized privileges to be able to run. So you can install this into your home directory, or if you want to install it under the op directory or under US local. Again, it's up to you. By default, it's going to install under USR local and set the binaries and the shares and the configuration paths under USR local. Before you actually begin running it, you need to make sure that you configure it. Debian users, it will not allow you to run Icecast until you actually go in and configure it and enable it, because by default it's disabled for the /etc/default/icecast2 file. You actually have to go in there and enable it. The configuration file, typically located under the etc directory for your distribution if you installed it by package, or if you installed it yourself, by default it's going to be under USR local etc. And it's just icecast.xml file. Really simple to edit. Pull this thing up in your preferred editor, VI, Emacs, whatever. First thing you want to go to is the authentication section. You need to change the source password. Relay password I recommend changing. And then you need to change the admin password for the web interface. Change those three passwords right off the bat. Those are the critical ones. You could leave the admin user the same, or you could change it if you'd like to. The admin user is used only for the web interface, to get into looking at statistics or to actually do the administration through the web interface, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Now, when you're done setting that, you could run that server right like that, but you might also want to look at some of the other configurations, like the host name. You probably want to set your host name in there. Host name, you could either put your system's name or the IP address of your system in there. That's used to build playlists by the Icecast server. Chances are you won't need that, but it's always a good idea to just fill that in. Now, if you're going to want to serve up static files, like MP3 or OGG files, there's an option in there, a configuration called FileServe, and it should be turned on and set to 1 by default. So make sure if you want to serve up static files, you're going to have that set to 1. If not, if you don't want to serve any static files, make that a 0. The first section in the Icecast configuration file is the limits section, and that's going to limit the number of clients and the number of sources that are able to connect at one time. Generally speaking, if you're running broadband access, DSL, cable, and it's just personal use, or maybe a few friends are going to be connecting to this thing, you might not have to worry about paying attention to it. You know, depending on how many sources you have coming in, how many clients, you might want to limit this based upon your bandwidth, because, the sources and clients are both going to consume bandwidth. The most important critical thing is you get your sources in, and so that you actually have something to stream out to the clients. If you find that whatever you're doing is becoming popular, and more people are wanting to listen, you might want to consider setting up relays, which we'll cover in a few minutes. But, the limits, you're going to have to decide for yourself what those are, and that was probably going to come by trial and error and over use over time. A couple other things to think about are the burst on connect option. A burst on connect will mean that when a client connects, it instead of just sending out the usual stream, it's going to send a burst packet, typically of 64 kilobytes, right out to the client so that it will be able to buffer. The intention is so that if your client's buffering, it'll buffer the source a little faster, get that burst of data in there, and then you'll be able to actually start listening a little faster as opposed to it buffering the stream until it reaches the buffer, gets filled on the client, and starts streaming out. So you can set that to 1 to turn it on and 0 to turn it off. And then the burst size, which is default is 64 kilobytes. They don't recommend you changing that. Another option here is called queue size. Queue size is the amount of bytes of data that the server will retain per client for each client's queue. It's like a buffer on the server for the client. If there would be an interruption or there'd be a problem with the client connection, the data is queued on in a buffer on the server side, the queue, and it will just allow, you know, the streaming out of the data then when that connection resumes so that the client who's listening doesn't lose a beat. If there's a problem with the connection and the queue size fills up, it'll fill up to the size that's in bytes that's specified under queue size and then drop the connection. So queue size is pretty important. Again, leave it at the defaults unless you want to. If you increase it, you're going to increase the amount of bytes that are stored per client on the machine. You know, staying at the default is pretty good. If they're having that much of a problem maintaining a connection, you're going to have to look at what's going on. If it's just one person, it's probably their connection. If it's a number of people, then you're probably bucking up against bandwidth limitations. Mounts. You do not have to define any mounts in the XML file, but if you're going to do relaying, you will need to specify mounts. And we'll cover that when we talk about relaying in a few minutes. Finally, what you're going to want to look at is the path directory. Most people, if you install by package, you won't have to worry about this. Arch users and those who've installed by source are going to have to worry about the paths directory, because by default, the log directory is not created in a source installation, nor is it created during the Arch installs. So look at where the log directory is pointed to, and you need to make sure that that entire directory structure exists before you start up your Icecast server. So pay attention to those. Finally, logging capabilities. You might want to turn on debugging, set the log level to 4 if you're having problems and you don't understand what's going on, you know, can't figure out why your source isn't connecting or why you don't have any mount points or why you can't connect to it. Just change the logging level to 4 so you can get some debug output. Once you have all that set up and configured your configuration file the way you'd like it, it's now time to start the Icecast server. Again, source installations and Arch installs, you will need to create the log directory. Now, it is important that the log directory be writable by the user that you're going to run the Icecast server under. On a Debian system, they create a separate Icecast user and a separate Icecast group. And when you actually go into etc default Icecast configuration file, set the configuration to be enabled, and then you run the Icecast startup script init.d directory, it's going to run Icecast as the Icecast user, and everything's already taken care of for you. But on source installs and Arch installs, you make sure you create that log directory, and it's writable. Again, on Arch is going to run it under the Icecast user. So make sure it's writable by the Icecast user. Source install, you're going to want to create an Icecast user or run it under a non-privileged account that you have created. And if you're already logged in as a user you want to run it to, you're just going to put in the path to the Icecast binary, -c, and then the path to the Icecast configuration file. You absolutely must pass specify the Icecast configuration file that you're going to use. Make sure to include an ampersand at the end of that command line so that it'll run in the background and you regain control of the console or terminal at that point. You should be able to connect to your Icecast server. Now, chances are, you know, you don't have any client streaming to it right now, but what you're going to want to do, if you want to test this out right away, is if you have the file serve option set in there to 1, simply drop in an AUG or an MP3 file into the webroot directory. Now, again, the webroot, you can find out what that directory is looking under the paths in the Icecast configuration file. Now, to test this using XMMS, you're going to play location. You're going to type in the URL to your Icecast server. You're going to need to put in the port it's running under. Now, by default, In the configuration file is an option called Listen Socket. And under there, it specifies the port. By default, it's typically running under port 8000. You can run it under any port you want. Any port above 1024 is a non-privileged port. It should work just fine. They recommend running it between 8000 and 8010. But just, you know, keep it on one of those ports. Now, all the clients are always going to have to specify in the location URL what port the server's running on. So under XMMS, you're going to put in a URL. For instance, http://www.tllts.org:, and a port number, which would be 8000. And if you don't specify, like if you have a stream running right off the root off of there, it should pick up that stream. But at that point, you're going to want to specify either the file, the playlist, or the mount point. So it would be slash and then the file name as it appears in your web root directory. For example, if you wanted to quickly test out a file, call it helloworld.org, and you were saving it on your server called myhost. So you put the helloworld.org file in your Icecast web root directory. And then in your XMMS client, you would put the path http://myhost.com:8000/helloworld.org. And it should play the helloworld.org file for you. Once you have verified that that's actually up and running, you're good to go for that. Now you have a couple of choices. If you just wanted to use this as a personal jukebox, for example, and you had a bunch of audio files, songs that you wanted to play for personal use, you'd want to create a playlist in there where each line is the path to the Icecast server and then the file name of the file to stream. You can easily create a playlist using Xargs. Make sure all your audio files are in the web root directory and simply do a directory listing. ls://*.mp3 or *.org, or if you have mixture of both mp3 and aug in there, simple thing, ls://*.mp3, aug, another asterisk. It should list all the augs and mp3s in there. And you're going to pipe that command to Xargs. To Xargs, you're going to supply the -i for replacement, and then you're going to put in the command, the echo command. So it's going to be Xargs /i /echo, space double quotes, the URL path to your streaming server. In our case, http://myhost.com:8000/. And then right after that slash, you're going to put open and close curly brackets. And that's going to take the directory listing, each listing in a directory. Xargs will replace every instance of the curly brackets with the directory instance. So what's going to happen then, once you close, you're going to close it with double quotes, then you're going to redirect the output to a file, a playlist file, you know, redirect to be a greater than sign, and redirect it to a file, playlist.m3u, for example. Oh, now what that'll do is for every file that is listed, it's going to pass that file to Xarg. Basically that file name, Xargs. Xargs is going to echo out the URL slash, and then it's going to replace the curly brackets with the file name, and then it's going to get redirected right into that playlist file. And for each listing, it's going to do that really quickly, create a playlist. So now, once you have that playlist put in there, you can go to your client, put in location, stream location, play, or actually play from location. And you're going to put in the URL right to that playlist, and it should automatically start playing those files. Really simple way to start playing your audio files. Aside from just streaming static files or playlists, you might be interested in doing live content. And for that, you're going to need a source client. Now, a source client typically runs on another system than the Icecast server, and there are a whole bunch of source clients available, from command line utilities to graphical interfaces or plugins for XMMS or GStreamer. And I'm going to talk about two. The first is ISIS, which is part of the Icecast project. ISIS is available. It's a download from the Icecast.org or the ZIF.org website. And it's a command line utility. It's pretty simple. You just execute the ISIS client and call the, and point it to the configuration file. Compiling from source is easy, and again, chances are your distribution will have a package for it. The configuration file is pretty, it goes pretty simple or very in-depth. You absolutely need to set your audio input device if you're using ALSA or OSS. And then you're going to need to put in your the host of the streaming server and the admin password. And pretty much that's all you absolutely need. You should be able to get away with that. Or you might also want to define the mount point in there that you'll be connecting to. If there's no mount point defined on the server, of course, it will create a new mount point on the server when you connect your source client to it. Now, the other client I want to talk about, which has a little more flexibility, is called Muse. That's capital M, small u, capital S, capital E. And that's available from dyne.org. That's D-Y-N-E.org. The actual website is muse.dyne.org. I don't confuse Muse from dyne.org, which is the multiple streaming engine, with another project called Muse. And that's capital M, small u, small s, capital E. And that's a MIDI audio sequencer project, and that's available at muse-sequencer.org. Okay, but we're talking about the Muse multi-streaming engine. Now, Muse is a cool little utility. I doubt you will find a package for your distribution in the repositories of your distribution, but you can get a Slackware package, a Debian package, or a Red Hat package from the Muse website. There's also an OS 10 package, or you could just download the source. Really simple to compile. I strongly recommend, if you're going to compile from source or if you download one of the packages, you make sure you don't have the MIDI audio sequencer project on your system. Or if you're going to install from source and you do have the MIDI audio sequencer, make sure you install Muse, the multiple streaming engine, in its own directory, either under your home directory or under opt. That way you're not going to run into any problems between the two. Muse, when you bring it up, there's a command line client, there's a ncursus client, and there's a graphical GTK interface. I'm going to talk about the GTK interface. It allows you to have multiple channels in there. And now each channel is essentially a window where you can load in audio files and create a little playlist. Now you can play each one of these files individually. You could have them go start from the top and play each file consecutively when it's finished, or you can have it loop one of the files until you turn off the looping, or you can have it when it play consecutively, so when it gets to the bottom of the list, it repeats at the top. You can adjust the volume on the side so that if you actually want to have a file playing while you're talking, you can lower the volume of that audio file and let it play and talk over top of it. You can have multiple windows, multiple channels, which allow you to create an assortment of playlists. And, of course, it has two inputs, either through the mic input or the audio in on your sound card, and or the playing a file out of the Muse channel. You could have both on at the same time, or you can turn one or the other off. It's up to you. Now, there's a streaming button over there, so you click on that button, it'll allow you to connect to a bunch of different servers. By default, there's only one server available. It can either be an MP3 using LAME or an AUG. You can stream to the server that way. You just fill in your server information, which is going to need you absolutely need the URL to the server minus the HTTP. Okay, just put in the host name or the IP address of your server, the port that it's running on, in this case 8000 that we're talking about in our example, and then the mount point you want it to stream to. And then you put in the password, and you click on connect, and you're good to go. You should be streaming right off the bat. Now, you can always add more servers to stream to by clicking the Add Server button. You could be streaming to MP3 servers and AUG servers all at the same time. There's an option to capture whatever you're streaming, to save it in a file. And just click on there, and it will capture it to an MP3 or an AUG file, whatever you want to capture to stream to. So that's pretty versatile. And, you just start streaming away and start talking and have fun with it. Muse is a pretty good project. It's really easy to use. I want to also plug from dyne.org another really good project, which is called Dynabolic, a live multimedia Linux distribution. And what's nice about Dynabolic is it has Muse and it has Icecast already incorporated into it. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there, from video editing to audio manipulation. It's designed to be a multimedia distribution. And we use it quite frequently at the tech show all the time, so it runs really well. It has a nice little editing config. You can easily edit the configuration file for Icecast server. Basically, it pulls up a extern window. I believe it's running VI, allows you to edit the Icecast, and then you can stop the Icecast server right from the interface. So it's really cool. Now, of course, if you're going to do that, you're going to try out Dynabolic for doing this. You're going to need a separate system to run a server on and a separate system to run a Muse on. Of course, like I said before, a separate server and a separate source client. And, you know, give those two a shot. Check it out. It's a pretty cool project. If you have a stream going, it's pretty popular, you're bucking up against bandwidth, you'll probably want to look into creating some Icecast relays. A relay is basically another Icecast server, or it could be any server, but we're focusing on Icecast. That's going to relay the streams that are on your server on that server. There's two different relays that Icecast supports. One is a master-slave Icecast, and the other one is a single broadcast relay. Now, the master-slave, what that does is the slave relay mirrors all the mount points, configured mount points from the master. Look in the configuration file. There's an example in there of how to set one of those up. You need to have the relay password set, and you need to have defined mount points. For relaying an Icecast, it's kind of vague in the documentations, but it seems like you do need to have defined mount points. And basically all you need to do in the mount points, you don't have to provide any other parameters or any other options in the mount point. You just list that mount point. So for instance, if you were going to have a mount point called My Music, so you would define a mount point in there called My Music, and people would be able to connect to your streaming server with the mount point My Music. And people would be able to relay with a master server relay that same mount point. Master server relay will constantly pull, like the default is 120 seconds. Every 120 seconds, it will pull the master server to see if mount points changed or there was more added, and it will display those. The other type of server, well, one last thing about master relays is you cannot define any other parameters or options under the mount points for master servers. Now, the other type of relay is a single broadcast relay. And that will, an Icecast server set up as a single broadcast can not only relay Icecast servers, but other servers too, Shoutcast or whatever. Now we're going to focus specifically on Icecast. And with a single broadcast, you do not need to specify the relay password of the master server, because the Icecast server is going to connect to the master server as it were any other audio client or any other, you know, client that's going to catch the stream. So what it does is you have to specify the mount point that you want to relay from the master server. And then you have an option of specifying a local mount point, so you don't have to have the mount points the same name. And in addition, a single broadcast relay will allow you to specify other options. You can specify your own maximum clients. You can specify a fallback file or mount point to use in case that current mount point is not available. You could put in an intro file, all sorts of stuff. Just about anything that could be defined for a mount point can be defined for a single broadcast relay mount point. You configure further options for a relayed mount point under the mount section. So under the mount section, you would have to create a separate mount point for that relayed mount point, be it the original name of the relayed mount point or the local mount that would be specified under the relay. And under that mount point is where you specify further options. You do not specify those options or parameters under the relay stanza. It has to be under the mount point. Setting up relaying is pretty easy. All you need is just another machine to install Icecast on. If you plug in the URL to your Icecast server with the port, you know, typically 8,000, into a web browser, it's going to bring you to the information page for the Icecast server. It's going to list all the mount points right there. People can go there, just click on a mount point, and it should open up automatically in their media player, depending on how they have their browser set. There's also a link on there to get to the administration pages. If you click on that, it's going to ask you for the admin user and password. And once you get in there, you could do some other stuff aside from listing mount points and getting statistics. You can move mount points. You can disconnect sources and stuff like that. That's what the administration page is. Now, Icecast does have an HTTP administration command syntax, which requires typing in full URLs and different commands through HTTP, but I find it far easier to use the web administration pages. So that's my spiel on Icecast. It's pretty easy to set up. Check out the documentation at icecast.org. The configuration file is well commented. It's pretty in-depth. And like I said, in a matter of minutes, you should have your own little web radio station set up, and you'd be good to go. It's very flexible, very versatile. It doesn't only run on Linux and BSD. You can also get it to run under Windows. There's a binary for that. And you know, it's fun and educational. So stream away. Keep listening to Twat. And also check out the Security Monkey over there at IT Toolbox. For some fantastic blogs and a podcast over there, Security Monkey Podcast. And keep on hacking. Have a good one. Bye.
It's over.